impact of world on him. The enlightened person revels in the supreme bliss of the self. He remains absolutely fulfilled. No more physical pleasure, emotional joy, or intellectual satisfaction can enhance his bliss within. His state is like the ocean. Rivers pour millions upon millions of gallons of water into the ocean. Or you may draw millions out of it. Neither makes a difference to the ocean. So too the extremities of wealth, environment, or situation make no difference to a state of absolute bliss. Now observe the life of a lay person. He can take a loss up to a point. Beyond that point, he cannot handle it. He collapses. Imagine a person losing a pen. What is the loss to him? Nothing. It will not break his heart. Stretch it a little. He has his pen with him, but coming out into the car park, he finds his car missing. What is the loss of a car to him? It may or may not upset him. Extend this thought further. The car is there, but as he reaches home, he finds his newly built house completely gutted, everything reduced to ashes. How is that? Furthermore, his house remains perfectly intact, but he hears the family, his dear wife and two lovely children, have met with a fatal accident. How would he handle that? Thus, somewhere down the line, from a pen to a family, something can upset him, shatter him. In contrast, for the self-realized, the loss of everything in the world is no loss at all. It has no significance in the boundless bliss that he revels in. Vedanta pronounces an astounding truth that the entire world is unreal, a mere imaginary projection, a figment of your mind. This rigid, stern world is just another dream. The waking and dream states differ only in degree, not in kind. You do not perceive this truth as long as you remain in the waking state. The moment you move up to the fourth plane of consciousness, attain self-realization, this solid-seeming world disappears. It turns into a meaningless nothing. You may get a glimpse of this staggering truth by comparing it with your personal experience of the dream world. As long as you take the position of a dreamer, the dreamer finds the dream world to be real. As solid and stern as the waker finds the waking world to be. No sooner the dreamer wakes up to become the waker than the dream world disappears. The dream world means nothing to the waker. Imagine the waker entering into his erstwhile dream. What impact will the dream world have on the waker? Will the riches of the dream world increase his wealth in the waking world? Will the joy and sorrow of the dream mean anything to the waker? The honor or dishonor meted out to the dreamer have any impact on the waker? The entire dream world has no pith or substance, has no value to the waker. Just so, the waking world has the same impact on the self-realized person. The waking world is a hollow, empty nothingness to him. He wants nothing from the world, expects nothing, has no interest in anything that the world offers, nor is he dependent on anything, heat or cold, joy or sorrow, honor or dishonor mean the same to him. In Shakespeare's words, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. That is the supreme stance of the enlightened. The waking world does not in any way affect the self-realized person. It produces no effect on him. His state is comparable to the phenomenon of optical vision. A rugged landscape lies on the delicate retina of your eyes. It does not burden the eyes. Your eyes remain unaffected by the nature of the landscape. So does the enlightened remain free from the impact of the world. He passes through life's affairs, the world's fluctuations and challenges, without the least burden. He maintains his supreme state of peace and bliss through the undulation and altercation of life.